Today, we'd like to see the title of No Restraint to the Lord, Save by Many or by Few in Samuel chapter 13 and 14. To another people through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three questions. Number one, in chapter 13, verses 13-14, and Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be command of his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." What do these mean in the context, and how can we apply these to our lives? Question 2. In 14:6, then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Question 3, in chapter 14, verse 48, and he gathered an army and attacked the Amalekites and delivered Israel from the hands of those who plundered them. Why did God allow that Saul was so successful after he had disobeyed God in the context, and how can we learn from here? You can see battle of Michmash right here, the Israel and Philistine area retreat. So you may continue to see today's Bible study part. In the last time in Samuel chapter 12, verse 24-25, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." In the memory of God's great works, serve God in truth with all your heart to love him, or you will be swept away. Then, chapter 13, verses 1-4, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years of Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. And Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistine that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." Now all Israel heard it, said that Saul had attacked garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together to Saul at Gilgal. See the map. Red color line represents Israel's army's movement, while the blue color line represents the Philistine army's movement. Verse 4. Saul had attacked the Philistines. The people called together Saul at Gilgal. Saul drew the people's attention to himself for the battle won by Jonathan. He began so humble, but developed the pride before his destruction. Watch for or be vigilant. Pride goes before destruction, and haughty spirit before fall. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Sober meaning watch for. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 5. Then the Philistine gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and the people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude, and they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth Aven. All on the right is there on the map there. Verse 6, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thick lot, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. When they saw so many Philistines and weapons, they were naturally distressed. When you face problems or temptations, look for the Lord, who is omnipotent, omniscient, and merciful unto eternal life. Jude chapter 1, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 8. Then he waited 7 days, according to time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Samuel previously specifically told Saul that 7 days later he would come down to offer burnt and peace offerings, but he did not show up on time. 1 Samuel 10:8. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make a sacrifice of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. Verse 9. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me, and he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at the Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made a supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. The Levite tribe was chosen to do offerings by God, but in Eli the high priest's time, due to the iniquity of Eli's house, the two sons and Eli, also Eli failed to supervise his children, according to Bible, Eli and his two sons were killed. Samuel, as an Ephraimite, not a Levite, was with the Lord, and let none of his words failed. Samuel did the priest's duty as a seer or a priest, as well as a judge role before Saul, the first king's reigning Israel. Now the high priest was Ahijah, the great-grandson of Eli, but Saul was a king and prophet, not being called the priestly duty to do offerings. Even if Saul made three excuses, number one, scattered the people, number two, Samuel came late, and number three, Philistines came down to Gilgal, for he had been forced to do the burnt offering. He did not keep God's commandment, nor that the ritual should not be substituted for the substance of Christ, such as God's commandments, God's will, God's word, all heart to love God, or all other things about Jesus alone. So all cross-reference, you may check right here, Deuteronomy chapter 12, 12 to 14, 1 Samuel 3, 13, 14, 19, 1 Samuel 1, 1, 2, 17, 20, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9, 19, 1 Samuel chapter 14, 3, Colossians chapter 2, 16 and 17. Then verse 14. But now your kingdom, still question one, shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander of his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Saul will, future tense, be replaced with a man after his own heart for a king. God does not seek a perfect man, but a man after God's heart. Nobody is perfect. Even a Christian is not perfect until he or she meets the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, in heaven, either rapture or by death. See chapter 14, verse 52. When we know God's will or word, God's word, follow it, and whatever outcomes. God often uses delays to test our obedience and patience in order to mold us in His image. Also, don't try to hide yourself from the call of God, but to be ready before Him. Note how we know God's will. A doing is for God's glory. Number two, according to His word in the scripture, relate to the following given image and given free will. How do you know God's will? First, our doing is number one, God's glory, for God's glory. Number two, according to His word in the scripture, relate to the following given things. Number three, given free will, given talents, and given situations, which are an open door. That is a cross-reference, 1 Samuel chapter 10, 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, Philippians chapter 2, 13, Revelation chapter 3, 8. Then verses 15, 23, then Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people present with him about 600 men. Saul, Jonathan, his son, and the people present with them remained in Gibeah over Benjamin, but the Philistine encamped in Michmash. Then raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines and three companies. One company turned onto the road to Ophrah. You may see the map to the land Shual. Another company turned to the road to Beth Horon, and another company turned to the road of the border that overlooks the valley of Jeboim toward the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, "Lest the Hebrews make a sword or spears," but all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plowshare, his mattock, his axe, and his sickle, and the charge for sharpening was a pin for the plowshares, the mattock, the forks, and axes, and to set the points of the goods. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and Jonathan, his son. And the garrison of Philistine went out to the pass of Michmash. Like a Philistine's army, Israel's army had no soldiers' spears except Saul and Jonathan. So they used the farming tools for the battle, said Bob Matt, by observing the text, not a pin in verse 21, the Hebrew weight unit, which is 2/3 of a shekel, 1/3 ounces, or 10 grams. Chapter 14. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to Philistine garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Ahijah, the high priest, was the great-grandson of Eli, wearing an ephod or a vest in Shiloh. Another Phinehas was the grandson of Aaron. Cross reference right here. Verse 4. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to Philistine's garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one of Bozes and the name of the other, Sene, the front of one faced northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. All is the map, above the map. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison, these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Since God is omnipotent, His Almighty doesn't matter the size of human numbers for powers. So to venture out upon faith is good. I step out on faith to see what God might want to do. Sometimes I found out that God doesn't want to do anything. That's all right to wait. Like a pillar of a cloud and fire, direction of the Lord on the Exodus. Lord, here I am. Do you want to work today? Let's go for it. If not, that's all right too. But Lord, I am available in a case you wanted to work. It is equally foolish to venture out upon flesh into a case which God has not called you." Cross reference right here. Verses 7 to 9. "So his armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart.' Then Jonathan said, 'Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we'll show ourselves to them. If they say this to us, wait until we come to you. Then you will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say this, come up to us, then we'll go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand.' and this will be assigned to us. Our strategy to fight to Philistines depended upon their responses. If they say, come up to us, then we'll go up, because this is the sign of God's delivery of them into our hands. Verse 11, so both of them showed themselves to the garrison of Philistine, and Philistine said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we'll show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hands of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. And there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders are also trembled, and the earth quaked, and so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked at their words, the multitude melting away, and they went here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, now call the roll and see who has gone from us. And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, bring the ark of God here. For at that time, the ark of God was within the children of Israel. Now it happened while Saul talked to the priests that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Verse 19, the high priest had the duty to choose either Urim or Thummim, yes or no, to determine God's will from the breastplate of his linen apron. So Saul asked Ahijah to withdraw his hands urgently to join in the battle. Exodus chapter 28, verse 30, cross-reference. 20, then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to the battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was a very great confusion. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with Philistine people that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul, Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth-Aven. Verse 24, and the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had placed the people on the earth, saying, cursed is the man who eats any food until evening, before I have taken vengeance on my enemies. So none of the people tasted the food. This was a foolish vow or a troubled oath in verse 29, like Jephthah. When Saul saw that the battle was going in Israel's favor, he announced the curse because of lifting up himself or pride. Until I, Saul, have taken vengeance on my enemies, rather than the Lord had defeated the enemies. Saul wanted to finish the battle quickly, pressing Israel's soldiers without considering their hungers in verse 39, very faint. Even in the Old Testament time, God never asked people to make altars or vows, but if they did, they must keep them. In New Testament time, altars or vows are discouraged. But really, I used such as at the wedding or court testimony. So right here, cross-reference 2, 25. Now all the people of the land came to the forest, and there was honey on the ground. And when the people had come into the woods, there was the honey dripping, but no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard his father charge the people with the oath. Therefore, he stretched out the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honey womb, and put his hands to his mouth, and his countenance brightened. Then one of the people said, "Your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, 'Cursed is the man who eats the food this day.'" And the people were faint. But Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. Look now how my countenance has brightened because I taste a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found, for now would there not have been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?" Now they had driven back to the Philistine that day from Michmash to Aijalon, so the people were very faint. Verse 32, "And the people rushed on the spoil and took sheep, oxen, and calves, and slaughtered them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood." In the Old Testament, God strictly forbade the blood of a bird or beast, subject to the death penalty, because the blood represented life. Even in early church of New Testament time, it was recommended to abstain the eating blood because of a stumbling block to the Jewish Christians. So cross-reference right here, 33. "Then they told Saul, saying, 'Look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood.' So he said, 'You have dealt treacherously. Roll a large stone to me this day.' Then Saul said, 'Disperse yourselves among the people and say to them, "Bring me here every man's ox, every man's sheep, slaughter them here and eat, and do not sin against the Lord by eating with the blood." So every one of people brought his ox with him that night and slaughtered it there. Here Saul did not put death penalty to the eaters of the meat with the blood, not the eaters of the blood alone, in the light of God's word, but admonished or reproved the eater not to so. Verse 35, "Then Saul built an altar to the Lord." This was the first altar that he built to the Lord. "Now Saul said, 'Let us go down after Philistine by night and plunder them until the morning light, and let us not have a man of them.' And they said, 'Do whatever seems good to you.' Then the priest said, 'Let us draw near to God here.'" So 35 here, Saul consistently approached God only after he had tried everything else. Vice versa is much better, because our God knows all things and is almighty. So 36 and 37. So Saul asked, 36, 30, 47. Saul asked the counsel of God, "Shall I go down after Philistine? Will you deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he did not answer him that day. And Saul said, "Come over here, all your shepherds of the people, know and see what this sin was today. For as the Lord lives who saved Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die." But not a man among all the people answered him. Then he said to all Israel, "You be on one side, and my son Jonathan, and I will be on the other side." And the people said to Saul, "Do what seems good to you." Therefore, Saul said to the Lord of God Israel, give a perfect lot. So Saul, Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, cast a lot between my son Jonathan and me. So Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what you have done. And Jonathan told him and said, I only taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my mouth, so now I must die. Saul answered, go to do so, and more so, for you shall surely die, Jonathan. But the people said to Saul, Saul, Jonathan, die. Who has accomplished this great deliverance in Israel? Certainly not, as the Lord liveth, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked it with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die. Then Saul returned from pursuing the Philistine, and the Philistine went to their own place. And 47, so Saul established his sovereignty of Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, against the people of Ammon, against Edom, against the kings of Jobah, and against the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he harassed them. Saul wanted to wipe out the Philistines soon, but God did not answer his iniquity. Saul, through drawing lots, it reached Jonathan, who confessed that he tasted a little honey, but without knowing of the earth. But Saul alleged that Jonathan was subject to death penalty because of the oath, even based upon Saul's word, not God's word. Here, Saul's determination, sensible conclusion, or judgment was unequal or unfair compared to the previous judgment to the eater of meat with the blood in verse 34. But the people's wisdom, as the Lord Levites rescued Jonathan from Saul's folly judgments. Then 48, and he gathered an army and attacked the Amalekites and delivered Israel from the hands of those who plundered them. Why did God allow that Saul was so successful after he had disobeyed God? Don't misunderstand God's long-suffering or patience as an approval of the sin or disinterest in the sin, for any of them should not perish but be blameless. Also, the timing and method of God's doing are subject to His sovereignty. So we trust in the Lord and follow His direction all the ways at whatever outcome that follows. That's a cross-reference right here. Then, for example, Moses' interracial marriage with Ethiopian women in Old Testament time, the issue not handled by God. David's adultery, the issue handled by God. Rahab harlotry and lied, the issues not handled by God, but her faith handled by God. Christians write the lie or dishonest the gains, because the lie is against the truth. Jesus, the truth, is impossible to lie, and the devil is a liar. The Lord is never pleased by our dishonest gains. So, at the ministry of a deacon, elder, pastor, teacher, evangelist, missionary, or another minister, discern every heart to minister willingly, eagerly, or for dishonest gains, money, power, or glory, as well as every spirit belonging to either of God or over the wall. All cross-reference right here. Then 49 up to 52. The sons of Saul were Jonathan, Jehushi, and Malchisha, And the names of his two daughters were these, the name of the firstborn Merab, and the name of a younger Michal. The name of Saul's wife is Ahinoam, and the daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of a command of his army was Abner, and the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiah. Now there was a fierce war with the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him for himself. God had been working to choose a man after his own heart in 13:14, while Saul took a strong or valiant man for himself. It's observed that God was doing in his way and his time to replace Saul, a man after his heart, toward David, the next king. Okay, we covered all three questions. So let's see right here, continual keep on prayer. Is Michael Loudermilker is a recent the news, you know, please pray for family. Also, he's just outreaching, you know, orphanage. Also pray for Iran's evangelism. So continually a lot of people converted to Christians. Pray for pastor training of Asia. So all Asian countries, South Korea, Japan, so, and other Cambodia, you know, headquarters the Philippines, keep on praying for them. Also, this week is coming Easter Sunday Palm Sunday up to Easter Sunday. So, that is 1 week. So, what happened? So, close to